Okay, we got a little bit of an amen on that one, but you know, this morning, we're going to start a new series, all right? We're going to get on to my sermon here. And we're going to start a new series. It's called Against the Narrative. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be doing a series, like I said, called Against the Narrative. And so what does that mean? We know that obviously over the past couple of years or, you know, past presidential term or whatever, you know, that's fake news, that's false news, that's, you know, that doesn't go with the narrative, that doesn't do this and that doesn't do that or whatever. But, you know, so it basically means when, you know, media, entertainment, Facebook, television, political parties, actors, actresses, all these people of influence tell you how to think about Christianity. Or how they, or even, and this is the sad part, mainstream Christianity tells you what to think about Christianity. And a lot of this, you know, a lot of this stuff, or the, you know, obviously the stuff we're going to go through, is simply not true. It's simply not true. There's a lot of times people will, and I've heard people say, well, this is what Sean Hannity told me. Sean Hannity is not Jesus. Fox News is not Jesus. CNN is not Jesus. None of these ones are, but they'll tell you what you should think as a Christian. They'll tell you what you need to believe. And even churches will sit there and tell you, you know, certain things. And the only reason why they tell you these lies is because they want you to give them money. They want you to keep their stuff going and everything else. And I know some people may argue with me on a few things, and that's okay. I'm fine with that. So, but the thing is that what we're going to do is we are going to dive into God's Word, and we're going to go against the narrative, because we will see how God's Word addresses these different issues that we're going to go through. And, you know, and so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be in Acts chapter 9 this morning. Acts chapter 9. I'm going to start there, then I'm going to hit, you know, all over. So it's going to be, I'm going to, you know, go over, you know, through Scripture to show you these things. But in Acts chapter 9, we're going to be starting at verse 17. Acts chapter 9, verses 17 and 18 says this, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul," and this is the person that later on will become the Apostle Paul. It says, "The Lord," even Jesus, "that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou comest, has sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized." And so we see this entire, you know, thing that the Apostle Paul, what he was doing, you know, in chapters, you know, 7, 8, and then this part of 9, is the fact that he was one of the Pharisees going on and killing Christians, killing followers of the way. He was going on his way, thinking that he was doing God a favor, going on there and watching people be put to death. It's, and in Acts chapter 7, we see him giving consent as they're beating Stephen and eventually killing Stephen. And so he goes on this entire thing, and then what ends up happening is that he's on his way to Damascus, and God knocks him off his horse. I don't know about you, but over the past couple years, I've heard a phrase, and apparently this phrase has been going on for a while. Apparently I'm just not as into culture or whatever as I thought that I was, but over the past couple years, I've heard this phrase or this word several times, being woke. Or I'm woke. All these different ones, you know, people come around saying, you know, we need to stay woke. We need to be woke. We need to do all these things. I haven't heard it that much because, you know, I guess maybe I'm just, you know, not really all the other, you know, the first time that they said that it was really kind of being used was using a song back in 2008 by a artist, I think it was Erykah Badu, that, you know, sang the song about staying woke. And I never heard the phrase really until, like I said, about a couple of years ago when COVID started happening and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, the things with all the racial tensions and everything else about being woke and staying woke. But the thing is that for those of you that maybe, you know, just like me or, you know, still don't know what it means, you know, to be woke, here's the definition of woke or being woke. Aware of or actively attentive to important facts and issues, especially issues of race and social injustice. That's from Merriam-Webster. Here's the Oxford English Dictionary's definition of it. Originally, well-informed, up-to-date, now it means chiefly to alert to racial or social discrimination and injustice. And they all say that this came from the African American vernacular, you know, meaning this, you know, this redefinition of this word. And now here's my issue with this. To me, if you're born in America, you're an American. I don't care what shade of skin color, what your descendants were, what your ancestors were. If you're in America, you're an American. That's it, plain and simple. And so they go on there and they talk about, there shouldn't be any segregation. Well, I'm African American, you know, I'm Hispanic American, I'm white American, I'm all that. There should be no segregation at all. In America, if you're born in America, you know, you're American. Isaiah 40:17 says that all nations before him are as nothing. And so I don't understand why we had this thing about, you know, these different things and about being woke and that racial injustice and all this other stuff. Here's my question about the whole thing about, you know, somebody says, well, I'm woke. Here's my question to you. And more importantly, are you saved? Are you saved? That's where we need, you know, to realize we have all these people, you know, so concerned about being woke and all this other stuff. And I'm not saying that if somebody has had an injustice where, you know, they flat out know that that's some sort of racial, you know, bias towards them, you know, fight that injustice or whatever. When I say fight that injustice, I don't mean burning down buildings and everything else. But I mean, the thing is that we are the church, and I've seen more churches become woke over the past couple of years, and it irritates me and infuriates me because it's like you're segregating. You're getting us back to the times where there was a black and white church or there was a Chinese church. There's supposed to be one church, and that's God's church. And so I want to tell you the title of my sermon this morning is, You're Not Woke, You're a Joke. You're not woke, you're a joke. And the thing is, the reason why is because we see here with the Apostle Paul that he thought that he was doing things for the Lord. He thought he was doing great things for the Lord, that he was going around and killing these people because it went against his religion. He was going over there watching them being beat, watching them being killed, doing all kinds of things to these Christians because they were a problem. He wanted to cancel what God was doing. And the thing is that what does it say? I stopped the story because the thing is that he gets knocked off his horse, realizes what he is doing is against what he thought that he was doing, which was doing stuff for the Lord. He gets knocked off his horse, is blinded. Most importantly, he's saved, goes and has scales removed from his eyes, and he's able to truly see what God wants to do in his life, what God has for him. The only way that we're ever going to be truly woke is the fact of if we're saved. And if we're saved and we're falling for this kind of junk that's out there, we need to realize that, you know, the thing is that we're all, how's the song go? I had this on my head. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are all what? Precious in his sight. People need to realize there is only one human race. There's not several races just because your skin color is different or because you come from a different country. We are all the human race. And so, you know, like I said, I look at this and we see, you know, we know that in Acts chapter 7, we see Saul, not yet Paul, consenting to the death of Stephen, and he thinks he's doing God a favor by canceling those followers of Jesus by seeing to the beating of Stephen and ultimately his death. And I want us to realize this morning, you know, point one is this. Being awake to what the world declares as injustice is not woke, it's a joke. Just because the world tells you that it's an injustice does not mean that it's actually happening. It's now happening more than ever. Why? Because more people are tense about it and have all these different things. Well, I can't say this, I can't say that, because they may take it this way. Racism has always been and still is a divide and conquer technique by the devil. It's been a divide and conquer technique. It's always been that way. If you look in Scripture, there's racism in Scripture. God's showing you that there's racism, that people are hating on one another. Why? Because they're not from their same nation, or they have a different skin color, or whatever. And God always says it's an abomination to him. And so, like I said, being awake to what the world declares as injustice is not woke. It's a joke. Anytime politicians world leaders, entertainers, actors, actresses, anyone tell you that you need to be aware of something, or that you should be infuriated by something, or that you should care about something, you know what? It's almost always a cloak. It's always smoke and mirrors. They want to do something and they want you mad, so you're focused on this while they're doing something else. That's what we need to realize. Is not say what, because you know what? I stayed away from the news. I told this to Brother Doug, I told this to a few others in the church. I pretty much had taken like a fast from news. I'm not on Facebook anymore. The only time I'm ever on Facebook is through the live streams page, you know, to just let people know about what's going on at the church. That's it. No other really social media or anything else. And I'll tell you this. I turned on the news the other day. It was the same stuff, but different people. That's after 4 or 5 months of not watching the news. It's the same stuff, different people. They want to keep you elevated. They want to keep you angry. They want to go, well, it has to be because this person's this color, this person's that color, or this or this or this or that. The reason why is because he wants to divide and conquer. He wants you to keep your, Satan wants you to keep your focus over here while he's working over here. It's a cloak. It's smoke and mirrors. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 19 through 23 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are what? Ye are whose? Christ's, and Christ is God. You are Christ's. So the thing is that if we're participating in this and thinking all this stuff, the thing is that what does he say? He says, the wisdom of men is what? Vain. They will sit there and they're going to try and get you, angry and mad and everything else. And the reason why I got rid of those things is because I would find myself angry after being on there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, sometimes longer. Being on there. And they want everyone. They don't want just those that are sinners that don't go to church angry and mad. They want believers mad. They want everybody mad and angry at one another. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. That is not a fruit of the Spirit. Paul, with the scales falling from his eyes, truly is woke because he began to see the world as it truly is. But more importantly, he began to see Jesus and was able to put everything into proper perspective and focus. You will not be able to see clearly until you have believed upon Jesus Christ for salvation. In other words, unless you are saved. You're not going to be able to see things. Here's the funny thing is that I've met people that were like just anti-church, everything, hated Jesus, everything else. They get saved, they read God's word. All of a sudden, they're like, what I'm reading in here is what's happening in front of me. It's like, it knows. I was like, it does, because God knows the beginning from the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one that has created all things. He can see everything, like I said, from the beginning to the end. He knows. He is the first and the last. He knows these things. And until we get, if we're not saved, we need to get saved. And if we are saved, we need to say, God, put my focus back into proper perspective of what I need to do. All this stuff going on, they're not woke. They're a joke. The world can't see things clearly. You say, well, how can you say that? Don't you see the stuff going on there? I'm not saying that the stuff like people being killed and everything else is right or it's not. It's not at all. Burning buildings burning down buildings, destroying people's property is not right either. You say, how can you say that? Because the next scripture I'm going to read, that there are going to be people in this world, maybe friends of yours, that are not believers, are going to look at this event and begin to say, you know what, this is one of the best times in world history. This world event is going to be like greater than the freeing of the slaves back when America stopped slavery and all those. It's going to be greater than that. If you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, start at verse 1. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And everybody knows that 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians are end time scripture, you know, passages. They're end time letters, all right? "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of the Lord is at, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come, except there shall come a" what? "A falling away first." This is from people turning away from sound doctrine. This is people turning away from the church. This is people, you know, not wanting to look to Jesus Christ as their Savior. "And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is God, that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." There's going to be people thinking, this is a Let's read on. "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time." Hold on 1 second. Let's continue. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." We should realize that. It says the mystery of iniquity or the mystery of sin is already, we already know this. And sin's going to blind people. We know that. We know that with the Apostle Paul. We know that because Scripture says that people. "Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him who is coming is after the working of Satan with all the power, signs, and" what? "Lying wonders." Satan's going to come. He's going to, you know, talk about peace. We know this, you know, in Revelation it talks about there's going to be the Antichrist is going to come. Satan's going to come. "Hey, I'm going to give you peace." Everybody's going to follow him that is not saved. All right? So everybody's going to follow Satan. He's going to say peace. He's going to give a false peace. He's going to go over, and this is one of those things that I always tell people that I'm shocked about. You have like preachers like John Hagee and all these other ones saying, we need to give to the temple fund, the temple foundation fund, for the Jewish people because they're God's children. And I'm going to get into that here a little bit more in a moment. But he says, we need to give to this fund because, we, you know, the Jewish people, they've just been oppressed all these years. We need to do this. They're God's chosen people. We need to do this. Do you know what you're doing when you're giving to the Temple Foundation Fund? You're helping them build the third temple in which Satan is going to set him up and declare himself to be God. You're ushering in the Antichrist. You're ushering in the end of days. You're ushering in all these things. You're going, well, that's a great thing. So you say that you want this to happen, that you want Satan to do this. And so you have like those preachers going around saying, this is a great thing. I'll get into why that's a bad reason here in a moment. But it says what? It says, after the working of Satan will do what? All powers and signs and lying wonders. He's going to be able to do things that people go, it has to be Jesus. That's the part where people are going to go, this must be the Messiah. This must be the anointed one. Look at the stuff he's doing. And it says what? There are power signs and what? Lying wonders. People are going to look at this and say, this is the great, I am so glad to be alive because this is the greatest moment in history. Someone's actually going to bring peace on earth. Peace is not going to come on earth until we're in the millennial kingdom. But people will think that they're going to be able to because this man, this son of perdition, Satan, is going to come out and promise them all kinds of things. And he's going to sit himself in the temple of God, in that third temple that's being built right now. If you don't think it is, just type in third temple. And, you know, I know that a lot of people, you know, love, you know, President Trump. his administration, if you go, there is news clips of his administration going to these Jewish rabbis. The rabbis are going, this is what we want. And you look in there and it's the third temple. And you say, what? That can't be. His son-in-law, who married Ivanka Trump, is Jewish. He was a part of it, and also his Secretary of Defense, Pompeo, or whatever his name was, were all there watching, going, oh, okay. These are things that you can just, you know, find just typing in, you know, on the internet. These are news clip articles. These are not like somebody like CGI-ing and putting in, you know, all these different people. So let's continue in this portion of scripture, verses 10 and 11. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So what does it say? They didn't receive the truth. They didn't want the gospel, that they could be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. What is he saying there? He said, God's going to send them a strong delusion. Why? Because they rejected the gospel. And they're going to believe things that people are telling them, like news media, TV, all these kind of things. Why? Because God says, you know what? You don't want to believe me. You've rejected me. So you know what? I'm going to send you a strong delusion and make it even worse upon you. So that doesn't sound like the God of love that I read about. Then we said, you know, a lot of times people say that God is so hateful. Like in the Old Testament, he's such a mean God, but thank goodness for the New Testament. He's so much nicer than the New Testament. Have you read Revelation? Have you read the book of Revelation? There's stuff happening there. I'll tell you right now, he's the same God in the Old Testament that he is in the New Testament. He's the same one, you know, there that we need to realize. Here's the key to living life while we wait for his coming. Don't constantly dwell upon the bad. You know how you do that? Turn off the TV. Turn off social media. Turn off all these things. You say, well, I can't do that. I just want to see my friend's stuff. If you can sit there and filter out all that stuff, all the articles and all the sharing and clicking and tweeting and posting and everything else, and just stay on your family's thing, more power to you. I couldn't. And I tried. I was like, you know what? I don't really want to have these arguments with family and, you know, arguments. I mean, I had somebody get mad at me one time because I posted a thing on there that simply said, if it's been standing, and this is in regards to last year about the statues that were around. I don't care. You could tear down all the statues, you know, whatever. I don't really give a rip. But anyways, I just said, if it's been staying there for 250 years and it hasn't been a problem for you, we walk by it day by day and it hasn't been a problem for you, but your political party or somebody tells you that you should be angry with it, you have a problem. I had lines of things going on, and you would think, you had statues staying, you know, right next to you all these times and you didn't care. You know, there was nothing, but all of a sudden somebody says, you should care that that thing is there. You should tear that down. All of a sudden, people, we should tear it down. It's like mindless drones going around. We need to tear it down. It is racist. I mean, that's honestly, you know, what it is. And I kind of lost my relationship with my aunt. My aunt got on there and she says, how dare you, those things are so racist. I said, yes, they are just yelling out racial slurs all the time. Sarcasm is something I'm still working on. And so she went into this long laundry list of things, and, you know, going on there. And I said, here's the thing. She started talking about Robert. This is all free, because this is not in my sermon right now. I'm just kind of ranting right now. Little rabbit trail. But anyways, I just go, you know, and she started talking about Robert E. Lee. I said, have you read anything about Robert E. Lee? Yeah, he's racist. I said, you haven't read anything about Robert E. Lee. I said, Robert E. Lee didn't want to join the Civil War. He absolutely did not want to get into war. Only reason why he got into it was for state rights. The ability for states to actually determine how their state is run. That's why he got into the Civil War. He was against slavery, did not own a slave, never owned a slave. Ever. So how is his statue racist? Oh, well, because he was a part of the Confederate Army. I was like, did it ever occur to you that there was other reasons? You know, not all the reasons were because of that. And actually, 99%, if you read a history book, says that, you know, that they were actually, the vast majority of slaves were actually treated really, really well. Yes, am I saying that there were ones that were treated bad? Yeah, there were. But that happens nowadays. Go get a job. You'll find out that there are bosses out there that are mean to you. I feel like I'm going to get a whole lot of, like, just flack. Maybe not from here, but from that thing. I don't care. Don't dwell upon the bad all the time. People are just, you know, here's the thing. People say that people are now just realizing that there's sin and injustice in this world. Here's a little, like, I hate to burst your bubble. It's always been there. Injustice has always been there. Sin has always been there. And it's like they're the moral police or the thought police that say, you know what? We're going to tell you what's bad. You want to know what's bad? Read God's word. He'll tell you what it is. He's going to tell you that there's injustice, that there's racism, that he absolutely hates it and abhors it. That's the reason why that all of a sudden that we're going to be caught up in the rapture and go away and this world's going to be destroyed. You want to talk about global warming? It's going to be consumed with fire when he comes. And then what is he going to do? Give us a new heaven and a new earth. And you know what? Then we're going to go on there and there's not going to be any racism. There's not going to be any injustice. There's not going to be anything. Why? Because the believers in Jesus Christ are going to be there with him forever. Amen. Racism has always been, is a divide and conquer technique used by Satan. If you don't believe me, open up to John chapter 8, verses 39 through 45. John chapter 8, starting in verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek me, you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the works of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto him, if God were your Father, ye would love him. You would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word, ye are of your father the devil. That's not politically correct. Jesus flat out told somebody that your father is the devil. Try and tell that to some of your friends. See the reaction that they get. It says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. So in this passage that we're reading, there's racism happening. They're saying just because the Jewish people in this new portion of scripture are saying just because we're Jewish. Now, mind you, did they have any determination of where they were born? Did they say, I mean, were they inside their mom while she's pregnant saying, Mom, I want to be born in Jerusalem. I want my ethnicity to be Jewish. I want to... No, they had no control over this entire thing. And they said, well, you know what? Our father, because of Abraham, we're God's chosen people. And Jesus says, no, you're not. If you were of Abraham, you would know me. And you would love me. He says, but since you don't, you're of your father, the devil. He's the father of lies and thereof. And so they're saying, basically, we are special because of where we were born and what our ethnicity is. God loves us because we're Jewish. There's nothing more racist than that comment. That is flat out racism right there. They're saying God loves us more than you because of something that you had no control over. And what I'm saying in this verse is the Jewish religion is racist. It actually teaches that we are God's chosen people. He will love us even though that we deny him, we hate him, we hate who Jesus Christ is, we don't want to even know anything about him, he is not our Messiah, he is not, and there's so many people saying, well, they believe just like us, they just don't believe that their Messiah has come yet. That means that they're not saved. That means we need to share the gospel. But you have preachers like John Hagee who say just because they're God's chosen people that we don't need to preach the gospel to them because they're going to be saved anyways. So God's going to give them a special exemption. You don't need to believe upon Jesus. You can actually hate him, curse him, everything you want to. But because of ethnicity, which you have no control over, you're special. You get to go to heaven. Like I said, the Jewish religion teaches this, just like we learned a few weeks ago in Mormonism, that they teach the fact that if you are white, you are freer from sin. And the whiter that you are, the more free you are from sin. And that the darker color of your skin, that means that you're sinful and you're not going to go to heaven. How racist is that? And so you have these different ones going on, talking about this, about something that they cannot control. That is why I find it strange and ironic that all of a sudden this came out. And I just want to tell you something. The whole you're not woke, you're a joke, I did not come up with that. I saw that someplace else and I was like, I'm going to use that. So before somebody says you're plagiarizing, no, I'm saying flat out I didn't come up with that title. But it's so true. But here's the thing. It goes along the lines of something I heard probably about 6 months ago or even more, that people that have lighter color skin, that are Caucasian, however you want to do it, need to repent of their whiteness. How can you repent or whatever of something that you had no control over? I don't remember ever saying, hey mom, I know that you're really white and dad, you're white, but can I be a different color, please? How can you do something? How can you be mad or angry with somebody just because of their skin color? It is beyond me. I don't understand it. And the thing is that that's what the devil does. He wants to keep on putting more fuel on the fire. He wants to put more gasoline on that fire. And he wants to keep people divided. Why? Because if he can keep us hating one another and divided, that means that people are not getting saved. He does not want people saved. He wants people hating one another so they don't get saved. Mark 3:25 says, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Remember, the devil is the father of lies. And people need to realize that he's using him. You know, the devil is using them to cause division, so they don't get saved, and they go to hell. And so the whole thing about woke culture is a joke. What is racism? This is Merriam-Webster's definition of racism. It says the belief that race accounts for differences in human character or ability, and that a particular race is superior to others. Oxford English Dictionary says discrimination or prejudice based on race or skin color. I don't like the fact when they use race because I don't see, there's not different races. Well, here's the thing. There's only one human race. I've talked about it, I said it earlier in the sermon, I'm going to say it again and I'll give you a proof. There's only one human race. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. That's your human race right there. Does it talk about skin color? It says that he created male and female. He created man in his own image. That's the human race. Male, female. That's human race. So if you're a racist, about whatever, you hate the human race. There's no fact of different skin colors. Did it ever occur to some people that the reason why there are different shades of skin color is because God likes diversity? That he's a very creative God? Did you not read, the creation account where he's like, let the birds of the field come out and the fowls of the air and everything? I mean, how many different types of birds are there? How many different types of flowers are there? How many different types? Because God likes diversity. God created male and female, and that's the human race. We came from Adam and Eve. That's fact, plain and simple. That's it. That's all, there is. And so you have Adam and Eve, you know, going to the Garden of Eden, and then you have Genesis chapter 6, where Noah builds his ark, and everything is wiped out, right? Then by we get to Genesis chapter 11, the earth is being repopulated and everything else more and more, and we have the Tower of Babel and all that that happens. So God segregates by different languages, and people begin to form nations. He doesn't segregate by based on skin color. He segregates by your language, by what you're able to speak, by what language you're able to speak. Here's something mind-blowing for those that are in the woke or cancel culture, you know, that want to do this. If you have a person that is born in Africa and you have a person that's born in Russia and they get married and they have kids, okay, think about it. If they're from Africa and they're from Russia and they get married and they have kids, that means there's not a different race, because you can't have, you know, something that's different from the other and be able to have children from it, offspring from it. They, you know, the Bible says, because everything will bring forth after its own kind. You can't have a dog and a cat get together and all of a sudden have a cat dog, even though there was a cartoon about it a long time ago. You can't have a human and, you know, and a monkey get together and all of a sudden evolution is true. Everything brings forth after its own kind. That's why when dogs get together, they have other dogs, and they, you know, begin to look like other dogs and cats, because everything brings forth after its own kind. There's only one human race. Remember, like I said, this throughout, racism is a scare tactic of the devil to keep people distracted, because if we were all together in one accord, then we would be able to accomplish far more. If we were all together in one accord, we'd be able to accomplish far more justice, more righteousness, more. The world would be a lot better of a place if we weren't divided. The media, the entertainment industry, continuously promote this false ideology of racism, that, you know what, I should hate you because of your skin color, or I should hate you because you have differing thoughts. You know, we have the thought police going on, they're like, oh, you had a thought? You can't have that. Here's the other thought of the fact of people, you know, being mad about all this stuff. God doesn't say that white people should marry white people and African American or, you know, black people should marry black. I can, you know, do away with it right now. Moses, who is his wife? Moses married, was supposed to be a Jewish man, Moses, you know, he let my people go. Moses marries an Ethiopian woman named Miriam. Usually the skin color of an Ethiopian woman is a little bit darker than that of a Jewish person who's from, you know, the Middle East, who should have tan color skin. It's all a divide and conquer tactic. It's all a divide and conquer tactic. Read to you from Numbers chapter 13. I'll just give you a little bit of the background. Moses is sending out the spies to give a report of the land. And this is what I'm going to give you, you know, the reason why I'm going to tell you the story is because, yes, are there, you know, ones that have certain shades of skin that seem to excel in one area than the other? I mean, think about it. There's like phrases out there like, white man can't jump. That's be true, because I can't really jump that high. But like, white man can't jump, you know, and a person says, well, this person does this because they're this race, or this. But there are certain, you know, different ethnicities or nationalities that, you know, seem to do well, or, you know, seem to have certain attributes. And it all has to do with kindred. There are certain kindreds of people that have certain physical attributes and characteristics. So let's look at Numbers chapter 13, we're starting at verse 25. It says this, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, and to all the congregation of congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this was the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong, that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwelled in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelled in the sea and by the coast of Jordan. There are people on this planet who are born physically strong, mentally strong, and different ones. We even see it in here. It says these people are what? Strong. If you go on and we read, read further on down in Numbers chapter 13, it actually says all the people that we saw in the land are of great stature, are very tall. And that says, and there were, and they saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. So you even have the sons of Anak, they're very, very tall and great stature. That's the reason why you have certain cultures and everything else where the people seem huge. And they're just born that way. Or you have other ones that just seems that they're strong, or you have different ones. The thing is, over and over again, that's not a difference in race. That's not a different skin color. I mean, like I said, the Bible addresses this. So the devil is working overtime by getting people to fight over dumb things. You say, well, this is not dumb. It's dumb in the fact that we're fighting against how thin is your skin? That, your epidermis here, your skin, is like, I can't even tell you how super thin that is. And that's what people fight over, is that part. But does not every single person that is in this room have two eyes, two ears, a mouth, hair, some less, some more, have two legs, two arms, a heart, lungs, are human? We don't need to be fighting over this stuff. You know why? Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says this, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. It says what? That God has made of one blood all nations. Like I said, if there's an injustice, based upon your skin color or whatever, yes, should you stand up? Yes, but to fight, to argue and fight and whatever, to a person that you've never met before? To call somebody racist because they voted for a certain person? All right, I want to get to there are some things that the church and Christians should not be awake to. Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 21 says, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works in charity and service and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. There are certain things in here. What does it say? It says that God gave this woman, Jezebel, space to repent, and she repented not. She didn't want to turn away from her fornication. She didn't want to turn away from things that are sacrificed to idols, and not even more than that. She also was teaching others to do this. God always gives people space to repent. The reason why I bring this up is because in the things that we should not be awake to is the fact of we should not be going down an evil road. There are too many people that say, I need to research this to see whether or not God's going to give me a testimony. I have heard many I need to go check things out, which means I want to go out there and do as much studying as possible and see how that all works out. That's the translation of it. I want to go as do, you know, just, we shouldn't be going out and having to do research or anything else. Here's the thing. If you've grown up in church and God, you know, saved you at a young age and kept you from all that, that is an amazing testimony. That is a powerful testimony because, you know what? You said, I'm out of things. And we see this same kind of mindset, you know, right at the beginning of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, it says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Why? Because they did not listen to God. Their eyes were awakened to all those things out there. They didn't realize all these other things until Satan said, you know, go over there. Your eyes will be open. You'll be awake. Your curiosity towards sin will cause you to awake to things, to be woke, but only to the reality of shame, because the reality of the consequences come quickly. How many times has a person went out, done something, and go, ooh, that was a bad idea? And they got to deal with the consequences of that sin. But if they were to stay to what God's word says, they didn't have to be awake to it, because that would never happen. The demonic tactic is to get our minds off of reality, which is this, that people are dying and going to hell without Jesus Christ. We don't need to be woke to all this other stuff. We don't need to go watch the newest TV show. We don't need to binge watch, you know, Netflix. We need to go out and share the gospel with people. Why? Because without Jesus Christ, they are dying and going to hell. And that's what Satan doesn't want people to realize or even address. The only thing that we can do as people is this, that we can tell people about the Lord and rescue them from hell. If we go out and we share the gospel with them, the scales can be removed from their eyes as well. The scales from their eyes can be removed as well. Number four. We need to be awake to some things. You say, well, Pastor, you just said that you're not to be woke because that's a joke. But there are things that Christians need to be awake to. We need to be awake to righteousness over conspiracies, because there's obviously people out there conspiring. I mean, everywhere. My wife always says, you're such a conspiracy theorist. So it's not really a conspiracy if things, you know, fit together and actually, you know, make sense. But anyways, there's people going out there believing conspiracy theories and all sorts of stuff, but we need to be awake to righteousness. We don't need to ignore, you know, some of these things that are going on in the world. We don't need to ignore racial injustice, all this other stuff. We don't need to ignore it, but we also need to have a proper balance. What's more important? Going out and you know, starting a fight with someone, which obviously profits nothing, or the fact of us sharing the gospel with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34 says this, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He's saying what? He said, awake to righteousness. Awake to the fact that you're saved and that there are people that are dying and going to hell. And you have the answer. That's what we need to awake to, is the fact that we need to awake to righteousness, sin not. It says, and what it says, for some have not the knowledge of truth. I speak this to your shame. He's saying, wake up. There are people outside of this church building. They're outside of these four walls that are dying and go to hell. You are saved. You have Jesus Christ. You need to share the gospel. And I've heard far too many times, well, Pastor or Deacon, you need to do that because God put you in that position, or you're paid to do that. I'm not paid to be a Christian. I don't believe that, you know, when the deacon sat me down, or when we voted on a deacon, do we ever sit there and say, well, since we pay you, you need to do all this stuff. The last time I read the Bible, it says, go ye therefore into all nations preaching the gospel, and he was saying that to everybody. I've heard far too many people say that it's the pastor's job to build the church. No, it's the church's job to build the church. Are you a believer in Christ? Are you a part of the church? It is our job. First and foremost, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Go up there. Most of the time, if you go out, you know, if you've gone out with me, I'll introduce myself as what? I don't say, my name is Pastor Sean. Bow down and kiss the ring. I introduce myself. Hey, I'm Sean. We're just out, you know, telling people about Jesus, you know, and then just go on from there. I don't sit there and go around telling people, You know why? Because I'm not, my identity is not the fact that I'm a pastor. My identity is in Jesus Christ and the fact that I'm a believer in Jesus and that people need to know about him. It's the same thing. I don't think Doug goes over and says, I'm a deacon at my church. Kneel before me. Or Miss Tanya. Or Tim. Or anybody else. Nobody ever says, I'm a deacon. I'm Deacon Tim. I have met people that have done that. And I want to laugh. Because their whole identity is in the fact of them being that title. So in this entire thing, in 1 Corinthians 15, 34, it says, you're saved. This is what he's saying in short. You're saved, and now you need to go out and teach others how to be saved. Let's look at a few of the blessings, and I end with this, of being awake in Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says this. It says, wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What is he saying the blessing is that Christ is going to give you the light you're going to be able to see. Psalm chapter 40, verse 10 says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. What is he saying? He's saying, I have not hidden anything. I have told people about Jesus. That is a blessing. When you see somebody come to know the Lord, you'll know that blessing of leading somebody to know the Lord. It is one, you know, there's nothing like leading somebody to Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen as temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our focus, we can understand, we can see beyond the temporary, because we know God's word, how it ends, that this is not our home. That's a blessing. Because if you don't have Jesus Christ, well, turn on the news, and you'll see the chaos that ensues when people don't know who Jesus Christ is. I just told you to turn off the news. But I'm saying, if you want to, you know what it looks like, turn on the news and all the yelling and arguing with everybody. We know how it is. Why? Because the thing is that we know the eternal from the temporal. I shared this with a lady while we were out soul winning this last week. I told her, I said, here's the thing. Before we came to the door, this life is the best that you'll ever see. And it only got worse for you after that. I said, but you just gave your life to Jesus Christ. And so now, this life is the worst that you'll ever see. And your destination is the best you'll ever see. Because you're in heaven. You're going to go with Jesus. Your eternity is with Jesus Christ. Amen? And she had his biggest smile on her face. Because she knew where she was headed. And she knows now where she's going. We need to keep our eyes on the eternal and not fall for the tactics and the distractions of the devil. Far too many times people are trying to, you know, be, you know, say, I'm woke, you know, and they're trying to cancel everything out there. I'm telling you right now, they can sit there and try and do all that kind of stuff, but here's the thing, you can't cancel Jesus Christ. We need to be awake to righteousness as believers in Christ to share the gospel with people. But we don't need to be awake to the, you know, to the lies of the enemy or the devil trying to get us all angry and mad at one another over something that we have no control over. We have no control over our skin color. We have no control over where we were born at. But now that we are alive in Jesus Christ, we can go and share the gospel with them. Why? Because we love them enough to tell them the truth. Amen? Kind of quiet on this one. But this is one of those things that this is one of the reasons why we're going against the narrative, because there are so many times, like, what's the church's response? The church's response is that we are all made of one nation, of one blood, and that we need to be go sharing the gospel with everyone. Why? Because everyone is important. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. Amen?